Harry looked at the cover of Mrs. Weasley's book. Written across it in fancy gold letters were the words, Gilderoy Lockhart's Guide to Household Pests. There was a big photograph on the front of a very good-looking wizard, with wavy blonde hair and bright blue eyes. As always in the wizarding world, the photograph was moving. The wizard, who Harry supposed was Gilderoy Lockhart, kept winking cheekily up at them all. Mrs. Weasley beamed down at him. "Oh, he's marvellous," she said. "He knows his household pests all right. It's a wonderful book." "Mum fancies him," said Fred in a very audible whisper. "Don't be so ridiculous, Fred," said Mrs. Weasley, her cheeks rather pink. "All right. If you think you know better than Lockhart, you can go and get on with it, and woe betide you if there's a single gnome in that garden when I come out to inspect it." Yawning and grumbling, the Weasleys slouched outside with Harry behind them. The garden was large, and in Harry's eyes exactly what a garden should be. The Dursleys wouldn't have liked it. There were plenty of weeds and the grass needed cutting, but there were gnarled trees all around the walls, plants that Harry had never seen spilling from every flower bed, and a big green pond full of frogs. "Muggles have garden gnomes too, you know," Harry told Ron as they crossed the lawn. "Yeah, I've seen those things they think are gnomes," said Ron, bent double with his head in a peony bush, "like fat little Santa Clauses with fishing rods." There was a violent scuffling noise. The peony bush shuddered, and Ron straightened up. "This is a gnome," he said grimly.
"Get off me! Get off me!" squealed the gnome.
It was certainly nothing like Santa Claus. It was small and leathery-looking, with a large, knobby, bald head, exactly like a potato. Ron held it at arm's length as it kicked out at him with its horny little feet. He grasped it around the ankles and turned it upside down. "This is what you have to do," he said. He raised the gnome above his head.
"Get off me!"
and started to swing it in great circles like a lasso. Seeing the shocked look on Harry's face, Ron added, "It doesn't hurt them. You just got to make them really dizzy so they can't find their way back to the gnome holes." He let go of the gnome's ankles. It flew 20 feet into the air and landed with a thud in the field over the hedge. "Pitiful," said Fred. "I bet I can get mine beyond that stump."
Harry learned quickly not to feel too sorry for the gnomes. He decided just to drop the first one he caught over the hedge, but the gnome, sensing weakness, sank its razor-sharp teeth into Harry's finger, and he had a hard job shaking it off until...
"Wow, Harry, that must have been 50 feet! The air was soon thick with flying gnomes. "See, they're not too bright," said George, seizing 5 or 6 gnomes at once. "The moment they know the denoming's going on, they storm up to have a look. You'd think they'd have learnt by now just to stay put." Soon, the crowd of gnomes in the field started walking away in a straggling line, their little shoulders hunched. "They'll be back," said Ron, as they watched the gnomes disappearing into the hedge on the other side of the field. "They love it here. Dad's too soft with them. He thinks they're funny." Just then, the front door slammed. "He's back," said George. "Dad's home." They hurried through the garden and back into the house.